B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
3 o'clock hour of the Mike Missinelli Show is brought to us by Corpolis Bakery and Deli. They have great tomato pie, by the way, Corpolis. And they also have hoagie party trays, every bit as good, so check them out. I'm looking at this tweet. Who did this? Was this Bob Nightingale's tweet?
No, it's Heyman commenting.
Oh, John Heyman. John Heyman. Oh, yeah, so Nightingale tweeted that Curt Schilling is interested in the Phillies managerial job or the Boston Red Sox pitching coach job. And John Heyman, who has covered baseball for a long time, I don't know, who's he working for these days?
He's up at MLB Network.
MLB Network?
Yeah.
So he just tweeted out, I've spent some time thinking about this and could only come up with six people currently living in the United States who would be a worse choice for Phillies manager. Oh, man. That's pretty rough.
It is pretty rough.
All right. Yeah, I don't know. Is Curt oblivious to the fact that he has created a certain niche for himself here?
I think Booney pointed out how he had bankrupted that software company, and then he was going to run for Congress, and some of his other statements, which we don't need to get into right now, but he hasn't repented for anything.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Does he not know that he's kind of a controversial right-wing mouthpiece?
Right, and I don't even mind the right wing, because mm-hmm. I'm sure, I don't know what, who Klintak voted
for. The controversial part.
Right, and some of the things he said has been so beyond.
He's extremely controversial, whether you agree with his opinions or not, and I don't know if, does he not think that like the public reception would be part of the whole thing?
Right, and I don't know, and don't know. He could have done, because he has access to a person like you if you want to apologize.
Uh-huh.
He could apologize to some people, and everyone loves, for whatever reason, a comeback story. So if he was to say, hey, I made some mistakes, blah, 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 over the course of 6 months, he could have started this months ago. Mm-hmm. Right now, people might say, you know what? We were wrong about Curt Schilling. We can forgive. But he's done zero of that. He was arguing with you like a month ago. He's calling you names and stuff like 1 month ago, and now here he is, I want to be Philly's manager after going after the top guy in Philadelphia like a month ago on Twitter, calling you names and going all crazy.
Well, I didn't mind that. Frankly, I don't think it was that serious. Like, he was tweeting that kind of stuff, but I don't think he was, like, really serious. He was just coming back at me hard. He wouldn't be a good choice. But not to be outdone, Lenny Dykstra apparently has just created a video saying he would like to be the Phillies manager.
We're going to get the audio from the video, and perhaps we'll play it in here. Maybe he'll sell you, Mike. Maybe you hear.
Possible. Lenny has been a friend of the show. We've had him twice as a co-host. The first time he was fairly lucid. The second time he came in with a T-shirt that was affixed with olive oil stains. But other than that, he was, He was a fun guest.
He was on one other time after the unfortunate passing of Darren Dalton.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
He was not doing well that day.
No, he was all over the place that day. So, I think they can come up with a better choice. Because they're meeting now. And what's up? Because they're watching the show. They're meeting now talking about potential candidates. I wouldn't think that Schilling or Dykstra would have crossed the table. Well, that's just my guess. Chris in Warrington, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. Chris.
Thanks for getting me on, Mike.
What's going on, Chris?
Hey, it struck me that, and I don't know John Middleton from Adam, but and I wasn't really sure of what his personality or what he was like as a human being was, but he may be the most arrogant human being I've ever had the displeasure to listen to. You know, the fact that he would invoke his title as CEO is sort of comical to me. I mean, dude, you're worth billions. You don't have to tell us how important you are.
No, I actually got the exact opposite read on it. He was trying to not refer to himself as the owner. He was trying to say, like, he's an employee also. I actually think he was trying to downplay his authority with that.
All right. I mean, I'll acquiesce to you, but I got to be honest with you. I took it a different way.
And, well, but he is. He does run the organization. And
oh,
like,
I got you.
He can
I
say, I'm the owner and what I say goes. Instead, he said he's the CEO of a collaborative effort. I think he was actually trying to dilute his dictatorship.
Well, I think he was giving an homage to the Buck brothers. But that's a whole nother
story. Yeah, possibly, yeah.
You know what I mean? Because mm-hmm. they have a whole lot of dollars in the deal,
yes.
And I get it.
Yeah.
But they don't have a whole lot of dollars in the deal unless they're going to make more dollars. So,
right.
You know, let's be honest about that situation.
Uh-huh.
I find this all sort of comical that they went into a season with a pitching staff that I think even the mildest of knowledgeable human being would have said, nah, this ain't going to work.
Well, see, that's what I'm saying when you say arrogant. Like, if he was arrogant, he wouldn't have listened to Klentak for a week and a half. That doesn't show arrogance to me. That shows weakness.
Yeah, I heard you talking about that. First I would ask, how do we know he was listening to McClintock, you know, beg for Gabe's
job? Well, it's McPhail and Klentak, but McClintock is a good blend of words there. Why else wouldn't he make a decision unless he was deferring to other people's opinion?
Well, I got to listen to what he said. He said he was essentially taking a survey of knowledgeable people in the league.
That's what he said.
I don't know that I believe that, but let's let that go.
I don't know why that's necessary. See, that's what shows me a little bit of weakness, that he's taking inventory from other people. You own your business. What do you care what people outside think about it? They're not as close to the as you. So you, with your two eyes, observed another meltdown in September when your general manager today also said September. We all know September is very important. How you finish is very important. All right. Well, you saw how they finished. Boom. The decision in your head as the owner of your team that you hold in trust for fans, and if fans are thinking right along with you, clip. Maybe unfair, but you had to do it. Let's go to Dominic in Burlington. Dominic, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Dom.
How you doing today, Mike?
What's up, buddy?
I got two things here. First of all, I'm confused at this direction of this franchise, the power structure, what's going on here. But before I get to that, you mentioned in the beginning how Mike asked that. Salisbury touched Mike 3-4 different times.
Who cares what he says?
I agree with you. That's what I'm saying. I don't normally.
Yeah, that's why I wouldn't have given them the microphone the first
hard
time,
question.
Frankly.
I got you. But with this direction, this organization, what does McPhail do?
I don't know, and it disturbs me because I think that he is a salary collector.
I mean, he looks like he's almost a face for Middleton because
at this stage of his career, content to have a title and a paycheck.
Yeah, I think Middleton seems like he was mad, and he mentioned how certain managers have their own preferences on where they want to go. Klentak probably wants a younger, analytic guy. Who do you think? I mean, like the caller earlier mentioned, if I'm a manager, I run from this organization. What do you think?
I don't know. I mean, listen, any managerial job is a good job for people who have managed before. So I don't think that they're going to run from the organization. I think that an experienced manager is going to know up front and get an assurance from the owner that he is not going to have to defer to some 40-year-old general manager.
Well,
as far as the lineup goes, as far as the personnel goes, whatever.
Klentak was getting choked up over Kaplan still. You know, it's just like, I don't know why Middleton didn't just cut ties with Klentak and keep moving.
Because he didn't want to look ridiculous firing a guy that he had just given an extension to, who, by the way, in the spring he called Branch Rickey. You fire a guy like that, you look ridiculous. And like I said before, Middleton is like Woltz. A man in my position cannot afford to be made to look ridiculous.
So he's in there reading them the riot act in that meeting because he looked a little ridiculous today. He did. He came off to me.
He didn't look as ridiculous as if he would have fired Klentak, a guy that he had just given an extension to.
I hear you, but here's another reason. The war thing. I know I'm fixating on it, but if you added that much in war and you only won one more game, that tells me what you've been saying all along is that they don't have any prospects. Because if you added Harper and you added Realmuto and those guys actually performed, and they did. We saw they had good years. and yet you only won one extra game. That means the rest of your players stink, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why do the rest of the players stink? And that's the answer. That was the question that the person actually asked. They asked about the draft picks, the same thing you talked about. You were saying, and then they talked about, oh, if you look at your top 100 prospects, they were high school. They were coming with all these excuses. The bottom line is the owner spent money. And what the GM did on his own was terrible because outside of the owner's money, nobody worked out.
You know, they got in. And McPhail is amusing to me because he's so stuck in his own little thing that he doesn't realize that there are actually intelligent people that are fans that are out there, right? So he goes on. The question is asked about his farm system and how it's dreadful, right? So instead of going, you know what? We're looking at that. We're not satisfied at all with our farm system, and we're going to have to generate more prospects and be honest with your fan base. Then the fan base goes, okay, well, he thinks the same thing I do, and at least he goes into denial. He tries to justify. He says, well, we have three players ranked in the top 100. They're like 70 and 80. Like, what three players? You only have three players in your whole organization. Forget the three that are ranked in the top 100. Don't try to justify it. And then they say, well, those, you know, we drafted several high school players and they take a longer time to develop. Then don't draft high school players because guess what? Your organization can't wait that long. So you better get a high school player who looks like Acuna or then draft college players who are more seasoned. Because you can't afford, you haven't been in the playoffs in a long time. Be honest with people. Joe and Broomall, you're a 97.5 The Fanatic. Joe.
Mike Hyde, how are you?
What's up, Joe?
Mike, yeah, you kind of took some of my thunder. Real quick, I used to be a mechanical inspector, and when I inspected a machinist's part, and the machinist would tell you, oh, no, it's fine, it looks good, and all. When real, in reality, it's awful. What I'm kind of getting at is that what I got out of this press conference was they're like, oh, in the second half, we had the fourth best bullpen in the league. Our analytics are just as good as Houston and New York and St. Louis and, L.A. Well, okay, fine. So why are you in the playoffs? Where are the wins? So you explain to me, what went wrong if you're supposed to be so great? You say this guy got a nice shiny car, but I'm lucky I can make it down the block.
Yeah, no, I mean, get it. Again, we're talking about, like, McPhail is the classic, I'm smarter than you guy, and so, like, I'll figure out a way to con people.
Car salesman. That's what he is. It looks like he was a car salesman.
But he's a little more sophisticated than the car salesman. He's like the car dealer. He's like the owner of the dealership. Right, he's the owner of the dealership. Yeah, and so he, it's astounding because then he's talking about like he. Well, I'll never say that again. He misspoke earlier in the season when he said that. Well, if we make it, we make it. If not, we don't. And he said that was a mistake. But however, he didn't say that he was wrong. There are two ways to. If you're going to be honest, you go. Here's the bottom line. We didn't think we could make a deal at that point because we don't have that many prospects. And that's our fault. If we were to deal away a couple prospects, that would only give us one left. And that's our fault. And that's what we have to take a look at. We have to have more of an abundance of prospects so we can make a deal like that that gives us significant players back to make a playoff run. That's the A answer to it. That's the honest answer. That's what every fan knows was the case. But if they go, well, we didn't think we could. What? Come on, man. Steve in South Jersey. Steve, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Steve.
Hey, Mike. Oh, my God. That press conference, an hour of disappointment. And what did we learn out of it? I just want to share a couple points with you, what I learned out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, a month and a half of good relief pitching. Well, I hate to tell you, there's 6 months in a baseball season. And number two, you were talking about the point that I was just about to make just in that past call. Mike, our organization and sat there around that table he described, like the Landers of the world, the Dodgers, Braves, and Rays. There's a difference with their table and ours. We got guys like the Pavettas of the world and the Vasquez and whoever else you want to throw in there that we've been trying for 2 or 3 years to say they're something that they're not. And at that point, trading away with a little bit of prospects we do have, and there is nobody left. And we, the guys that we counted on now, we don't have. So here we are. And we don't even know where the direction is going because they couldn't give us an honest answer. I'm just disappointed. I really am.
Yeah, they weren't very honest with a disaster situation. When it's a disaster situation, you got to be honest. You got to put all your cards on the table, right? You got to get credibility back with your fan base. So instead of like stonewalling everything and dancing around the block, just say this is what it is. We need to do a better job developing talent in the farm system. It is our focus now. Our energies are going towards that because, frankly, we didn't have a lot of prospects, and that's our fault. Not don't give me we have top three top prospects in the top 100. The fans don't want to hear mum. That's BS.
Yeah, Mike. And then he made the last quick comment. Oh, and developing players. And he mentioned Kingery. And that was it. There was nothing else beyond that. What does that tell you? That's scary.
Yeah, somebody brought up the exact pieces that reached the major leagues. One was Cole Irvin. Who was the other one? Yeah, actually, it was Al Haisley. Cole Irvin.
Oh,
Haisley.
God.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Oh, you know, let me make a quick Eagles point.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with what you guys were talking about earlier. Jackson, I think there's more to it than that, and I really think it would really be under a serious judgment to consider getting a wide receiver if there's one out there, because I really think we need one, one.
I absolutely agree with you.
You know?
They see the same thing. Howie Roseman has to know. I mean, he saw it last year. He went out and got Golden Tate. Now, he may have to do a little better than that this time, but we'll see.
All right, Mike. Thanks for taking my call.
All right, you got it. We have the Lenny Dykstra audio. Oh, this is cool. Lenny Dykstra has announced that he is a candidate for president of the United States. No, I'm sorry. He announced that he's a candidate for the Phillies managerial job.
Yes.
I thought there was going to be another Democrat added to this weak field. No? All right. Okay. So here's Lenny Dykstra saying that he would like to be considered for the Phillies managerial job.
What? What's the next move? Who is the right person to lead this club to the big show? Well, that's easy. There's only one. Me. Lenny Nails Dykstra. That is, if they want to win. What's crazy is that it seems players and managers almost make it seem okay if a player is average. Which is like my whole life, my biggest fear in life was being average. So the bottom line is if you want to win, hire me, okay? But why in the wouldn't they want to hire me?
Well, first of all, your press conference would be really bad if you talk like that. That's one reason they would hire you. No, he does raise a point that there are too many players that are just content to be average. He does raise that point. But he played in a different era of baseball.
And on the Phillies, you mentioned the guys like Segura, the problem guys. Mm-hmm. But like Harper plays really hard. Realmuto plays hard.
Yeah.
Reese Hoskins failed a lot, but I think he's busting it.
Mm-hmm.
The outfield, Haisley's trying. All the outfielder guys are trying. I don't think, really outside of one guy, and maybe Franco too, those two guys, they are trying. They don't want to be average. They just are.
Dude, it's not good enough.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I don't think it was a lack of effort.
Well, Lenny is saying that he would recognize who's good enough.
Well,
he might be able to.
Yeah, but the problem is,
there's much more to being a manager than that, though. I mean,
he's going to run a tight ship.
He would be a train wreck, because in life he's a train wreck. Well, he'd be a train wreck as a manager. Lynn and Ambler. Lynn, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Lynn.
Hi, Mike.
Hello, Lynn.
Tell me why I'm not hearing Dusty Wathan's name being mentioned as a possible manager for the Phillies.
Well, he is being mentioned, but why would you want Dusty Wathan? What does he bring?
Well, he had a really great record in Reading. I think they won the league championship a couple of times. And he had all these guys. He worked with them, Fernandez and Kingery and Hoskins, Nola, Franco, all of them. And
well, they all of them have to be replaced because they're not good enough. At a major league level, they're just not good enough.
Not all of them.
Well, like who? Who are the good players that he worked with that, like Hernandez is, you know, what? He's an average player. Franco is an average player. Hoskins has to regenerate something. I don't know if Dusty Wathan. They need something more dynamic than Dusty Wathan, to be honest.
Well, maybe he was just playing playing it smart, and he's been on the team for, what, 2 years now as a third base coach, and he kept his nose clean, obviously, and he kept quiet, and he's still there. The pitching coach got fired, the hitting coach got fired, and Dusty's still there.
Yeah, I get it, and you probably, do you like the Reading Phillies or something?
Not the last 2 years since Dusty left.
Oh, you were a fan of the Reading Phillies when he was there?
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, there's a big leap between the success in minor leagues and what you do at a major league level. You have to satisfy his fan base at a major league level. Do you think that would create enough buzz for fans to be excited?
Well, I'm asking you. You're telling me no, it wouldn't.
No, I wouldn't think it is. I wouldn't consider Dusty Wathan at all, but that's just me.
Okay. And I got one more point.
Yes.
How disappointed is Bryce Harper that the Nationals are going to the World Series and he's not?
If you're a human being, it's a dagger in your heart, Lynn.
I believe it.
Yep. Poor Bryce. And, you know, I'm telling you, that picture they took of them all together, sitting down on the infield, frolicking.
That has to sting.
Suitable for framing. That's going out on social media. It's going out everywhere, that picture.
And Bryce stayed in the area, and he probably watched that press conference on NBC Sports Philadelphia as well. He couldn't have been pleased with what he was watching. Because there's no way he sat there and said, these guys are going to surround me with the talent that's going to take us to the world. He had to be disappointed with what he saw today.
Yep. All right. One line is open. You can grab it. 610-632-0975. He actually recorded that and put it on YouTube. Is that what he did?
Yeah, it was a video. Yeah. Then Dylan went and got the video and recorded it. And this is the bad part, though. Most people, when they throw their hat in the ring for a job, it's going to be clean. I even had to remind them, hey, Dylan, make sure you bleep it just in case. I had to say that. I hadn't heard it. I heard it for the first time when you did. But I just thought this guy probably would curse when he's trying to get a job.
All right. Mike Messinelli Show. It's on 97.5 The Fanatic. It's on NBC Sports Philly. Back after this.
The Mike Messinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, let's get a Twitter poll update at 3:30 on the Mike Messinelli Show. Brian Westbrook again joins us at 4:00 on a Football Friday. Yes, it is Football Friday, and the Phillies circumvented that with their presser today. It went an hour. Nicely done there. Filibuster for an hour. Anyway, the Twitter poll update is brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Natalie.
Mike, we have over 700 votes on this so far. How did the Phillies press conference today make you feel about the future of the organization? 10% said better, 90% said worse.
All righty. 90% we're up to. Maybe we can do 100.
Possibly.
Over. All right. So last night was sports TV conflict. So I'm curious to know. My sense would be that the majority of people watch the NFL game over game 5. Tampa Bay, Houston. I did not, however. In my world, a Game 5 baseball ranks higher than a Thursday night NFL game.
I agree with you.
You do?
Yes, I did. But the
majority would not.
Yeah, I didn't get to see the beginning, but once I got home and settled and everything, I was completely on.
The beginning was the whole thing. They scored 4 runs in the first
game. Well, I was aware, but I also got to see Cole just dealing.
Because it's like,
through eight.
It's like missing the first 5 minutes of Law and Order.
Oh, yeah, because then you know that's the...
That's where the crime
is. Yeah, I had some more...
The Astros won. They're a better team than the Rays. The Rays ran out of gas. But a great season for them. I noticed the kid that plays third base for the Rays is a local dude.
Is he?
Yeah, he's from Westchester.
Oh, wow.
Joey Wendell. He went to, like, what's out there? Is it Garnet Valley? Gray Valley? One of them?
I don't know.
Gray Valley, Garnet, one of those.
Boone will know.
He went out. Yeah. Yeah, he's a Westchester kid. All right, let's go Matt in New Jersey. Matt, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Matt.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's going on, Matt?
Not much. Quickly, if I could, I wanted to say hello to Tyrone. I'm your neighboring township Eagles fan from Chesterfield, New Jersey.
What's up, Matt?
Anyway.
That Chesterfield next to Bordentown?
Yeah, it's the next town over.
Yeah. What's going on? That Bordentown, is that trial done yet out there?
That
hung jury trial, is that still going on, Tyrone? Hey, that former police chief? You don't know?
I wouldn't know.
All right. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay. If I can make a point about the Eagles.
Uh-huh.
One or two things I just want to say. Since Chicago, since Doug P. made that phone call last year, I think it's going to be a tight game because Mike Zimmer, that's the coach of the Vikings, I believe, wants mm-hmm. to have a... wants to have a strong showing since the Bears knocked them out and we got in last year. If that's correct,
yeah.
Is that how? I think he wants to make a strong showing. Otherwise, I think we'd be completely all over him. But I think it's going to come down to special teams and field goals for us. And
so you're not liking the Eagles on Sunday.
I think the Vikings are going to want to, you know, ground and pound, and Adam Thielen is practicing today. I saw the reports on that, so.
Well, ground and pound, though, is right up the Eagles' alley. They stopped the run. They're first in the league against the rush.
That's why I'm saying, you know, field of position and a late field goal might be what we're looking at.
Okay. Now, how do you see the next three games? Because this is the most important part of the schedule, obviously. Three on the road, and it was all done for the Phillies because they thought the Phillies would be in the playoffs.
Yeah. Well, if we get this one out, then I definitely like the Cowboys game, and then I think the Bills game is a toss-up. But if we don't get this one out, it depends if Deshaun comes back or not. But if he does, I definitely like the Cowboys game. If he doesn't, and we don't pull this one out, it's just my gut feeling. If we don't pull this game out, it's a gut feeling. I'm not feeling good about this first Cowboys.
So you got two straight losses possibly here.
Possibly, or two straight wins, though. If we pull this one out, I definitely got two straight wins.
Well, come on, man. If we pull this thing out, I'm asking you, like, what do you think? I'm asking you for a prediction here.
I just see a late field goal. If it's a late field goal, like a win like the Giants a couple of years
ago. All right, so you think they're going to lose?
Yeah, I do, actually.
All right, so then that means that against the Cowboys, unless they had Deshaun, they lose two straight.
It could happen, but...
Oh, man, you're killing me.
I'm sorry.
That's all right. I'm just playing with you. Let's go to Tony in South Philly. Tony, you're on 97.5.
Mike Mish, hey, what's up?
What's up, Tom?
Not much. I just wanted to make an Eagles point.
Go ahead.
Okay, so we got the Vikings this week. Now, everybody's saying we got to stop the run, correct? That secondary we have is suspect. I'm just worried about, like, I think we will stop the run. But then I just don't have any faith in our secondary, Mike.
Well, if you're stopping a run, it makes it a little easier to defend the pass, you know, because that takes away their play action abilities, which they use a lot.
Yeah.
So if you're stopping a run, it's possible you get enough heat on Cousins where he gives it up.
That's what I'm hoping. I think Cousins will throw us at least one, maybe a fumble. I'm feeling it.
I feel that too, actually. I still don't know whether they can win this game. I'm sided towards the Eagles in winning this game, to be honest.
I am too, Mike. I'm a little worried about Dallas.
Yeah, well, if the Eagles win this game, it's possible they lose at Dallas and then rebound the win against Buffalo.
That's what I think.
Well, which is fine. Which 2-1 is all you can expect.
2-1. That's what exactly. I feel 2-1. I think we're going to beat Minnesota. I think we might lose to the Cowboys close game, and I think we got Buffalo. That's going to be a tight one, too. Buffalo's defense is no slouch.
No, and it's the third road game in a row, and that's dynamic plays into it. So, like, originally I thought it would go lost Vikings, win against the Cowboys, loss against the Bills. But the more I think about this game, the line hasn't moved at all. And I'm going, you know, maybe the Eagles are slightly better than this team. Cousins, to me, puts up a lot of yards, but you also will give them a short field or two.
The other part is I didn't realize that $200,000 is a lot to take from a wide receiver, and they're already half nuts as it is. And they've already done that. There's some drama up there, and I was hoping. That's why I really wanted a Vikings person to come on to kind of get in there. There's drama up there that doesn't exist with this team. There's injuries with this team, but there's not drama. There's drama up there, and you never know how that's going to affect the team. Sometimes it doesn't matter at all. Sometimes it craters the whole locker room. You know, you never know how it's going to play out. But there's drama up there for sure, unlike here. Here's at least stable as far as the personalities.
Yeah. All right, I'll get a better feel. We talked to Westbrook. Westbrook always gives me a better feel.
He sent me his picks, and I think you're gonna like. I think he's gonna make you feel better looking at his picks.
Well, you don't like his picks?
No. I'm saying about the Eagles game. Looking at his picks.
Oh, is he picking the Eagles?
Eagles are one of his picks. I'm not gonna give it away.
Really?
But the Eagles are the Eagles game is one of his picks.
Really interesting. He's high on the Birds. This
one
weekend.
Of the picks. It's the Eagles game.
We'll get his rationale on why he picks the Eagles coming up at 4:00.
Yeah.
All right. 610-632-0975. All right. He played at Avon Grove
High School. Yeah.
Where's that?
It's in West Grove.
Oh, so I don't even know where West Grove is. Where's that?
I think I've heard of West Grove,
PA. It's like foreign territory to me. West Grove is outside of Westchester?
I guess, but he went to Westchester and they won a Division II title.
Oh, he went to Westchester University?
Yeah, and they won a Division II title in 2012 with
How
him
about
as like
that?
Yeah, him as the guy on the squad. So he got a little pedigree.
There he is, starting third baseman for a team that almost made it to the World Series. Nice. All right, back after this, Mike Missanelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. NBC Sports, Philadelphia.
The Mike Missanelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
'97.5 The Fanatic.
Uh, 3:45, Mike Missanelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. Brian Westbrook at 4:00. Let's get right back to the phones and talk to Wade in Spring City. What's up, Wade?
Hey, Dad, it's Dave. How you doing, Mike?
Dave, what's up, Dave?
Hey, listen, I got two things from that press conference. Number one was that roundtable meeting they have after every season. Do you remember that part of the press conference?
Yes.
Where they have Larry Bowe and all the, you know, all the old heads in there evaluating every player, player by player. I'd like to know what they went through as far as when Charlie Morton was on this team. And that exit interview or that evaluation, if I was Middleton, I would go back and say who had a positive spin on Charlie Morton, who had a negative spin on Charlie Morton. And whoever had that negative spin on Charlie Morton, I understand it's revisionist history and hindsight's 50-50, but, I mean, you got to hold those people accountable who came up with a negative spin on that.
Listen, Charlie Morton unfortunately got hurt when he was here. So they had signed him to a one-year deal, and they weren't sure about his injury status. So, I mean, it happened to blow up in their face, but it's not like they made a value judgment. He was hurt. He didn't get to show them what he could do.
Charlie Morton pitched here.
He did, but then he got hurt. He didn't pitch very long here before he got hurt. He blew out a hamstring, I think, if I remember correctly.
I got to look that up. But the other aspect of that remind me was Moneyball. You know, it just screened the money ball, what they're doing with this team, with that roundtable evaluation. And, you know, I half thought I was going to expect one of the three, you know, come out and say,
yeah,
you
it's
know,
ridiculous that they kept emphasizing the collaborative effort. Listen, this is a simple thing to explain. The owner had to supersede the general manager with his evaluation, which happened to be the evaluation of many other people, including his customer base. So at that point, the GM has to get on board and say, all right, you're right.
I half expected one of the three guys up there to say, turn to the press and say, look, guys, it's the first guy through the wall that gets bloody, you know?
Yeah. Charlie Morton pitched four games for the Phillies that year. He pitched in four games, and he got hurt.
Okay.
All right?
I think corrected.
All right, buddy.
All right.
You got it. Yeah, I mean, he blew out a hamstring, I think, and he couldn't pitch the whole season. Michael and Wayne, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Michael.
Hi, Michael. How are you?
What's up, Mike?
I watched Manny Moe and Jack for an hour, he did talk about, like, you know, where the situation is in terms of financial. And they said, well, we were 585,000 people more, and that was because of, you know, the big deal with but I called about the
hello. Uh-oh. We lost you. Michael, we lost you. Sorry. Call back. Ron in Allentown. Ron, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Ron.
Well, I want to thank you for 10 years, and congratulations.
Well, thanks, buddy. Yeah, and yesterday, our 10-year anniversary.
Awesome. You're awesome.
Thanks, bud.
And here's my problem with all this. You know, yesterday, I had this warm, fuzzy feeling because he got fired.
Mm-hmm.
And then today it's like you watch this press conference and stuff. It's like, what are these people talking about? And it's like...
What did you hear?
Oh, my God. It's like all these excuses. And,
So what did you want to hear? How did you think they should have conducted it?
They should have, like, so they screwed up and stuff. It's like.
Yeah, they did. They screwed up and stuff. Let's go. Bernie on a cell. Bernie, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Bernie.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
What's up, Bern?
Hey, I was just talking a little Phillies.
Mm-hmm. Well, not another one.
I was actually trying to stay up. Watched the press conference,
mm-hmm.
took a quick nap, and fortunately woke up for the beginning of your show.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I heard everything I needed just by listening to Tyrone. You know, and I agree with them totally. 100% dead on Tyrone. You got 81 and 81, and then they're going to come out and trot out stats and reasons why they think they have improved. Well, no, you really haven't improved. One game over last year is not an improvement. That being said, you know, somebody was talking about Moneyball, but I look at this situation, too, like trouble with the curve. What would that movie look like if they replaced the Braves with the Phillies? You know, were there the guys always going out scouting, making the wrong move, it seems? Where in the movie where the kid's there pitching outside the motel, they'd probably walk right by him for the simple reason they have no stats or numbers on him.
Yeah, I'm not so sure how many people saw Trouble with the Curve, but I kind of know what you're talking about. It's Clint Eastwood in a horrid performance with Amy, what's her name? Was his daughter? Amy, what's Amy's name? The red hair actress. Not Amy, is it Amy Ryan?
No.
Amy Adams? Amy Adams.
Amy Adams.
Yeah, Amy Adams, yep. Yeah, I got you, bro. All right. Last two calls have been...
I think they were nervous.
Right, Charlie Morton pitched only 17 innings for the Phillies that year. He was coming off a bad year. He was a free agent coming off a bad year with the Pirates, where his ERA was almost 5. The Phillies signed him to a 1-year deal. He got hurt right away. So at that point, you're on a 1-year deal. You got hurt. What did they think they had? They had no idea what they had.
Well, somebody did.
He reinvented himself the following year with a good team, the Houston Astros. and he found it again.
Well, I
can't blame the Phillies for Charlie Morton.
I can.
Why?
Because Houston saw something the Phillies didn't.
Maybe Houston was able to cultivate it. Maybe it was just a desperate signing, and he happened to turn it around himself.
It's not a coincidence. To me, it's not a coincidence that a good team figured it out. The good teams figure it out. Houston's a good team. They know how to scout. They found Altuve.
Yeah, I bet you they signed him as probably a fifth starter with nothing to lose.
Oh, okay.
And he turned around his career. Good for him.
And bad on the Phillies.
Well, yeah, but it's like you had no frame of reference to see that Charlie Morton.
Right,
you can only go by your frame of reference. He was coming off a bad year. You signed him to a one-year deal. He got hurt. He showed you nothing in those 17 innings. So what would he like? Well, how are you supposed to say, let's re-sign him?
All over baseball, there's guys coming off bad years that someone's going to sign. It's going to have a good year. You got to get those guys.
You got a little too far. I can't blame them for Charlie Morton. I'll blame him for a lot of other stuff. That's a happenstance. Let's go to Eric and Trenton. Eric, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Eric? Is there a problem with one of the lines here today?
No.
No? All right, we have some problems with getting people on. Tyreek in West Philly are on 97.5 The Fanatic. Tyreek.
Hey, what's going on?
What's up, Tyreek?
Hey. Yeah, I'm calling. I've been listening to these calls basically all week about this, about the Vikings and everybody seeming nervous and worrying about them. I'm not concerned about these guys at all. And maybe that's a little bit of homerism. Mm-hmm. I think it's a little bit of reality on my end, too, because they don't, I mean, what they do well, we stop. And in regards to Cousins is Cousins. Full of stats, but at the end of the game, he don't get a lot of wins. And those wins against us came in past years. I'm not saying our secondary is stout by any means of this, you know, imagination, but I feel like we can go in there and win because our offense is formidable enough as to where if we impose our will on them, whether it be through the air or, you know, whatever game plan Doug may come up with, and if we execute it to execute the way we're supposed to execute it, I feel like they can't beat us. We can have a shootout, and if it comes to that, because at the end of the day, I feel like we'll outshoot them. And this particular win, I feel like a springboard into a 3-0 road trip. Sounds crazy, but I feel like we're giving these teams too much credit. I mean, it's a Vikings team. They beat the Falcons, the Raiders, and the Giants. Why are we so, you know, nervous about that? I don't get it.
Well, they're a decent team, and they're home. And there's a lot of incentive. And Cousins, actually, his numbers against the Eagles are pretty good.
Yeah, there's that. Yeah, that's history, though. And I'm not saying our secondary this year would make
But let me ask you this question. What about the Eagles' offense have you seen that's been that dynamic?
I can only go against, because I'm not counting the Jets. I'm not that foolish to count anything from that particular game. But I'm only going back to the Green Bay game. And I feel like, you know, and that's a stretch because we know how Doug is the run game. But I feel like we can take anything from that game. Our run will set up our pass. It's ABC. It sets up the pass. So a little bit more Howard. Get Sanders in there when you want to do your little wheel routes, you know, fetch crossing and things of that nature. And then you pretty much work off that. I'm not confident in Minnesota stopping us at all.
Okay. Well, listen, I'm glad you feel that way. I don't know what to tell you. I mean, we'll see how there's arguments for both sides here, and I'm more inclined to lean towards the Eagles in this game myself. But you're making it seem like it's like, you know, a snap your fingers win. I don't think it's that.
No, for me, this is the same team that everybody said 12-4, 13-3, and someone the last 14-2. Every season has its ebbs and flows. And that's what I believe it is. We're still the same team. And we're not fully staffed at this particular point, but I feel like we're formidable enough to where we can get through this little road stretch 3-0 starting out with this win in Minnesota.
3-0?
Yeah, 3-0.
You got 3-0?
I got 3-0 because, I mean, like I say, I feel like we can beat the Cowboys. That's just not taking anything away from them, but I feel like we beat the Cowboys.
I hope you're right. I don't see 3-0.
I'm going to call you back.
Call me back after the Buffalo game.
All right.
And they win their first two, and they lose in Buffalo. Brian Westbrook going to join us in the 4 o'clock hour as we talk some football. And, of course, if you still have some lingering Philly issues, we will talk about those as well as today. The three-headed monster that runs the club spoke. I don't know what they said, but they spoke. We're back after this, 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.